this mass awakening taking place, because there isn't, but people are starting to they're starting to notice. Okay, and that is a process that again happens throughout history. People start to notice things. And it's interesting because people in Britain, I'm sure America is exactly the same, they like to fit into the left-right paradigm where, you know, I'm a Democrat or I'm Labour or I'm a Conservative or I'm a Republican. And they don't want to break out of that and realise that there is a game at play and a system. And while we're here, and maybe I could just jump on if you're okay with it, and I'll talk a wee bit maybe about like the British Empire. And it's funny because we can talk about that and then go in. I'm not a massive expert on the British Empire, a historian, but that's something I've really been studying a lot, especially over the last few months. It's funny, you mentioned the Beatles at the start and you played their song Revolution. Their manager was a guy called Brian Epstein, believe it or not. And he was Lithuanian Jewish. So the Beatles as well, you can enjoy their music, I suppose, but there was a very heavy Jewish influence. The Beatles, I think, did John Lennon, I can't remember exactly, said something along the lines of show business is a part of the Jewish spirit or something like that. So that was an interesting connection. But to the British Empire, I used to kind of think, oh, we had an empire, Britain was great, blah, blah, blah. And I mean, clearly there was still some positives to it and a lot of incredible things done, but it was the same people that were involved in the British Empire that are involved in the Judeo-American Empire now. And really the British Empire was, it was three main families that benefited the most from it, and they were Jewish. You had the Rothschild family in England was a branch. It was founded in 1798 by Nathan Mayer Rothschild. And interestingly, the first ever non-Christian member of parliament who got into parliament in 1847, but didn't take his vote and his seat until 1858, was a Lionel Nathan Rothschild. So the first ever non-Christian parliamentarian in the British Parliament was a Jew and a Rothschild to boot. And the first ever, you had also had Benjamin Disraeli, who was the founder of the modern day Conservative Party. He was a racial Jew, but converted to Christianity. But again, as we know, you know, a Jew is a Jew, and Disraeli was a Jewish prime minister at the heart of the empire. You then had another family called the Montefiores, who were exceptionally prominent in the British Empire. Moses Montefiore, he also, funnily enough, financed the first Jewish settlement outside the walls of the old city of Jerusalem. So you had these guys who were all in the British Empire at the time, using the money, diverting resources to Palestine, knighted by Queen Victoria. And then the other family, so that was the Montefiore. And even to this day, you have a historian called Simon Sebag Montefiore, who does BBC shows about the British Empire and how amazing it was. And then the other family, which is an incredible one, is the Sassoon family. Basically, they ran the whole opium trade, and they were worth, nowadays, they would have been worth hundreds of billions of pounds. They were actually a Baghdadi Jewish family. And they were also involved with conservative politics. They were actually known as the Rothschilds of the East. So I don't know if you've ever heard of like the Opium Wars, but basically the entire Opium Wars, where white Britons went to die, was in order to secure the opium trade for the Sassoon dynasty. So, I mean, that was going on in the 90s, that was going on 150 years ago. And I mean, that's exactly the same with Afghanistan. The Afghanistan war was fought to allow the opium industry to come back online again. And some of the biggest proponents of that, again, you won't really read this in mainstream titles, but it was the Sackler family, the Jewish family who owned Purdue Pharmaceuticals, who implemented OxyContin, which got people addicted to opium. And they were Jews as well. So They were linked to the drug industry. And I mean, and again, people don't know the history of England, but the Jews were actually expelled by Edward I I believe it was 12, was it 1291 or something like that. And then Oliver Cromwell, who launched a sort of a revolution in Britain, he brought them back in. And there was an edict of expulsion that's to this day has never actually been, an act of parliament has never got rid of that. So they're living here, but they were actually expelled and were out of England for 350 years. And then they came back with Cromwell. Also, the revolution of 1688 with William of Orange embedded themselves in. And I mean, obviously, we don't know what happened 150 years ago, but they would have been using prostitution, blackmail, money. And I just think that's incredible that they were doing that with the British Empire 150 years ago. And now their descendants are doing the same with the Judeo-American Empire. And I'll let you jump in.
Well, no, isn't it wild? Because the comparisons there, right? First and foremost, you've got on the prostitution and the trafficking side, human trafficking, you've got the historical examples you're just bringing up. And then you can obviously contrast that to Epstein Island, right? And simultaneously, like you were saying, with the drug trafficking, the drug trade, and the Sassoon family, it's, you know, one of these things that I've heard a good bit about, fortunately, thanks to the, you know, incomparable Mr. Truth Teller, who talks about that all the time and basically suggested it was the largest drug trafficking effort or enterprise that the world has ever seen. And it was run by these Jews over in the East, right? Mm-hmm. And so to recognize that it's not only that, but the opium trade, all of the detriment that was done to the East through the trafficking of those drugs, it's just continuously this cycle of either parasitizing a society or poisoning it, right? And it goes back to the poisoning of the wells and this old concept, which I once thought was a figurative slur. And then you look and it's like, oh no, there's actually literal examples of that happening. And so it's wild to see these patterns repeat themselves over and over and over again, which brings me to the question around the royal family, if you will, and your thoughts on the entanglement with them and let's say the Jewish empire, because a lot of people, I think Truth Teller himself included, would suggest that they've been married, they being the Jews, have been married into the royal crown for, you know, arguably centuries at this point.
Yeah, 100%. Well, the first thing I would say is every male member of the royal family is circumcised by a Jewish mohel. Current King Charles was circumcised by a rabbi. I think was it David Snow was his name? I'll just double check that. I sometimes forget all these names. I think it was David Snow. Let me see. Or Snow Rabbi. He circumcised Prince Charles. I don't know if that was his name, but let me just see it. Rabbi Charles circumcised. In his book, Prince Harry admitted to Jacob Snowman. Sorry, that was his name. Jacob Snowman. In his book, Prince Harry admitted to being circumcised as well. Prince William is. Now, again, a lot of people consider this a real conspiracy theory, but if you look at a picture of Prince William and put him next to Jacob Rothschild, William looks like a Rothschild. And again, it is out there. It is a conspiracy theory. I cannot prove it. But there is a suggestion that when the royals were bailed out, because the royal family were in all sorts of debt in the 19th century, Queen Victoria and her husband, Prince Albrecht, Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, wanted to buy Balmoral, which is the famous house that they used. They had to get a loan from the Rothschilds family to allow them to buy that house. That's 100% true. There is the accusation that the breeding rights were given over to the Rothschilds. And if you look at Prince William, he looks like a Rothschild. So the argument is that he had what's called prima nocta, which is first night, which is what the feudal classes used to have over virgin women. And they're allowed to have the first night with the bride. Again, a bit out there, but there is some truth in it. Kate Middleton, who is the wife of Prince William, her mother's maiden name was Goldsmith. So our Kate Middleton's mother, and as you know, racial Jewry is passed on through the mother. So Kate Middleton's mother was a goldsmith linked likely to the Goldsmith family as well, Zach Goldsmith now. So it's very likely that Prince William, Kate Middleton are a Jewish family, and the royals are totally co-opted to Jews. if you want to come
yeah,
in.
Yeah, no, that I mean that it's wild. And one thing, as you were saying that, I had seen the photos not only of William, but obviously of his father as well. There's certainly some kind of similarities there with the Rothschild, let's say, facial structure, if you will, the physiognomy. And the thing yeah. that I always noticed, and I didn't actually think about until you just made this this comment, is that William actually does look quite different from Henry, his younger brother. Mm-hmm. The facial mm-hmm. structure is a little bit unique, which I guess might play into that thesis or theory. And I'm not, you know, these are accusations that even you're saying, look, this is just something that you're noticing, right? Certainly no material that could validate it. But on the Kate Middleton piece, so the goldsmith, have you looked into her enough to say with certainty that she is not only a goldsmith, which obviously the name would imply something, but that she is of Jewish ethnicity as well?
Well, unless we're putting DNA tests or measuring instruments, we just don't know. But it was interesting. Her father was a decorator, and her mother worked as an assistant in a jewelry shop, which is quite interesting. I mean, goldsmith is like, I mean, there's not many non-Jews called goldsmiths.
Yeah, it's pretty Jewish.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but please don't interrupt. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit like someone called Epstein or Rothschild. I mean, it would be very, very rare to not have that name. And I mean, even aside from maybe the racial aspect of it, the British royal family in Britain in general is totally philo-Semitic. I mean, there was this movement called British Israelism. They thought they were like the lost tribe of Israel. There is just this loving with Jews in Britain, and a lot of it as well is down to the monetary aspect of it. They've made a lot of people very rich. They've given patronage to a lot of talentless people who otherwise wouldn't have it. As I said, it's just exactly the same script that is in America or any country where that is important to world Jewry and has a prominent Jewish population. It's the same script all over. And like, again, none of this is really that controversial, and people get really upset about it. The Jews are they're an ethno-religion who put themselves first. They believe that everyone else is lesser than them, therefore they can do what they want to them. It is a totally supremacist religion and race, and this is what they do. And they know that, and they just try and pretend they're not.
No, it's very much the impression that I had, and I say impression because once upon a time, it was just a thesis that I was basing upon observations. But then, in fact, we see, for example, the Epstein files, and we see mm-hmm. the very language that they're using referring to all the masses. It's just the goy, yeah. Right? These are their rhetoric that they are using in a very right. condescending fashion. And so I'd be curious for your thoughts on, speaking of Goldsmith and Epstein, the ties between the crown and obviously, you know, the very disgraced prince, I suppose, and their role in the Epstein files and the island and all that.
That's right. I mean, it's such a great point. Just before I go on to that, can I just say, I think the fact that you call yourself Ian Malcolm is just so hilarious. And you have the picture of Jeff Goldblum, because again, Jeff Goldblum was one of these actors who was considered like a dorky actor.